This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm here once again with Rupert. He's decided to do another one. How are you?
Good, man. Like I said last time, it's good to be back. Yeah. I'm not sure what sequence he's
What are your plans for the immediate future?
Like what, this weekend? It's Friday today.
Well, so the weekend, by the time, no, just in life, because by the time this goes out, that'll be an old story.
It's a good question.
Do you know what you're doing?
I want to travel a bit more.
Yeah? Where do you want to go?
Japan.
Yeah.
Let's start this again.
Rupert's been drinking. I just want you to know that.
I've had two Becks.
Okay.
He has
been drinking. So while he's been away, we haven't had any alcohol on this podcast. And now he's back. He's had two bottles of Becks. He's skinning up.
That weed from your house that pongs out your kid's bedroom, wherever it is you hide it.
So good. Well, look.
Well, I haven't got any immediate plans, but.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Keep us updated.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
I am delighted to say we are joined by one of the most exciting new comedians around. Would you say that? Have I gone too far, man?
No, that's fine, man.
Wicked.
We're one for the poster.
Yeah, Mo Gilligan.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very good, man. Very good. Chilled, yeah. Man. Friday, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm good, man.
What are you up to at the moment?
Just gigging, man. Gigging. Gonna head up to Edinburgh, obviously, this year. But only doing a showcase, so I'll be doing like 20 minutes.
So what's the showcase?
So the showcase I will be on is AAA.
Oh, AAA, wicked, right. Yeah. Which one are you doing of AAA?
I think I'm doing the 7 o'clock show, I think.
And it's downstairs in the, is it the basement even?
I don't know exact venue just
Who yet, runs AAA?
Pleasance, right?
Pleasance.
Yeah. Bound and Gagged.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they normally do. Have you done the promo photos for that yet?
No, not yet.
Because they normally do a movie, right?
Yeah. So I'm kind of intrigued at like what it's going to be, really.
Yeah. Who are you on with?
I don't even know that much.
Who gives a shit, mate? You just got to smash it and hope the other pricks die. That's what you do. That's what you do on a showcase, mate. I did Big Value. Who was on with Eric Lampere?
Yeah.
Caroline Maybe.
Yeah.
And John Robbins.
There you go.
And then I did it the following year again, because that shows how little progression I'd made.
You just did two.
The next year I just did it again, yeah. And then I was hosting it, and it was Bobby Mair, Brian Lacey, and Adam Staunton. Bobby Mair, do you know Bobby?
Yeah.
Bobby used to just fucking sleep at the back. He closed it every night. He'd sleep at the back until 2 minutes before he's due to go on.
What did he do? Set an alarm or something?
I don't know how he did it. He just automatically just goes, okay, it's time for me to do it. And then you just wander up. Oh, yeah, great gigs, don't get me wrong. So you're doing AAA with some other chumps, right?
Yeah, so I'll be there for the most part.
Have you done the festival before?
I'd done it. Me and Kay Curd went up, not last year, the year before. And we done like half of the festival. But we split an hour between each other. So he done half an hour, I done half an hour.
And did you go? Did you have the same running order every time, or did you switch out?
Yeah, same running order. Yeah. Same way we done the show. And it worked really nice, man. Really, really nice.
What
really
do you think about the accusation that Edinburgh is like the whitest festival of all time? I mean, are you conscious of that when you're doing that?
I don't know, because like I kind of went there and I didn't really know what to expect. Part of me, like, being, you know, I live in South London, and then going all the way up to this really, you know, this big arts festival in Edinburgh, for me, I was a bit like, are they going to get me?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's the first thing I thought. Yeah. Not like, am I going to be funny?
Yeah.
But are they going to get who I am?
Yeah.
And I kind of went there, and it's like a lot of people that was coming to the shows, because, like, you know, we're doing our stuff on the fringe, giving out flyers and stuff. And the people coming were just like, yeah, we love it. We love stuff like this. So for me, it was just like, I don't know, I kind of felt like, obviously, like a small fish in a big pond, but it was like the fish that everyone wanted to see. You know what I mean? It was like, oh my God, look at a black fish in the pond. It's a black fish.
It's a koi, you know what I mean? Koi carp.
Yeah, so I kind of like, when I was there, it kind of felt like, well, yes, I am, you know, kind of out of my depth a little bit, but people kind of liked it.
You're a black fish that was out of its depth.
Isn't that a killer whale?
Well, killer whale is not a fish, mate.
It's a mammal, isn't it? But that film, Blackfish, is about killer whales and SeaWorld, isn't it?
That's a documentary, right?
Yeah. It's not about Edinburgh Festival.
Why is it called Blackfish? He's saying he's a blackfish in a pond. You said it was a koi carp.
No, I'm just, saying, I just freestyle quite quick. Yeah. But Blackfoot, you're right.
Oh, they, yeah.
That film is called Blackfoot. Yeah. We need to talk about your MC videos.
Okay,
they
yeah, man.
Are so good, man.
Oh, thank They're you, so, man.
If you
Appreciate
haven't
it, man.
Seen Mo's videos on YouTube, where you just sort of do different types of MC, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
is
like,
yeah, talk us through
the
it.
The MC that always misses the drop.
Yeah, you got that MC, misses the drop. That would normally be me when I was a lot younger.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that dates back from when I used to go to the youth club. That was where everyone would MC and rap. And a lot of my friends used to actually, they used to rap. They were not so much like grime. They used to do like a lot more hip hop.
Yeah.
So I'd always be around these kind of people, you know, but never participate myself. It was never good enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like, I'd always see it and always be around it. Be around music and that type of music, and yeah, you got MC misses the drop. You know, you got the guy who's a bit shy at first.
Yeah,
you know, but when he gets in it, he's like, you know, he's the kind of guy where everyone's like, "Go on, man, go on, spit a verse." He's like, "Nah, not today, guys. I don't know, man." And then the beat drops. He's like, "Yo, inside," and you're like, "Oh, whoa, okay, you come alive." You know what I mean? But yeah, man, like, it's weird because there's a lot of people that have watched the videos and been like, "Oh, that's like this MC, that's like that." But I've never.
Oh, have you got shit for it?
No, not really. Oh, okay, no, okay. No, everyone's been quite cool about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I've never done it as to like take the piss out of the people I listen to.
Yeah.
It's more of like kind of like a fun appreciation of what they do, essentially.
Yeah.
But kind of poke a little bit of fun out of some of them because some of them are a bit too serious.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah,
I like
but,
the one, the guy that the MC that just has the one line.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The one bar guy. Yeah, I'm that guy. Don't know me. I'm that guy.
Don't get rude. I'm that guy. Who's this prick? I'm that guy. Don't be a prick. I'm that guy. Because I'm that guy.
Hey, rewind, right. The thing is, he's one of the best guys because everybody knows that line.
Yeah.
Everybody gets hyped, and he always gets the reloads.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's more just paying homage to some of these guys, kind of poking a bit of fun as well. Done it in a few parts as well because I didn't know how successful it would be. Really, you know, the first video reached 2 million views. So yeah, I was like, wow, didn't know this would be a thing. So I kind of done it just before I was going to cinema. I was getting ready, and this was something I normally do on Snapchat, mucking around.
Yeah.
I've done it prior on stage at gigs and stuff like that, and it was gone down well. But I thought, I'm not going to do a video of it. Like people might not find it funny. And I'd done it, and then I got home from cinema and my phone was just like, oh my god, what's happened, like why have I got so many notifications? And then by the next day it was just everywhere, really.
You know, you said you did it on stage. It's quite it's a very it's very well observed,
mm-hmm.
but very well observed if you know if you know your MC, like, you know, that you sort of go, I know that trope or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're doing it on stage, would you do that at any gig, or do you only do it at a black gig, or do you?
I'd do it at a gig where it's got my younger audience
really.
So I wouldn't rare it within black or white, because I've done it at like uni gigs, like student unions, where the whole room's mixed.
Yeah.
So automatically, as soon as they hear a song, because I'd always explain the joke as well. So I'd say, you know, growing up, you had three types of MCs.
Yeah.
If the young guy, the guy who was good, then you'd have the kind of garage guy. So automatically, you're like, okay, he's now going to do the impressions of this.
Yeah.
So then I kind of, you know, once the song plays, I used to do it where I'd always have a hood on as well.
Right.
It just used to help for effect.
Yeah.
It's like I put the hood on, I'll just turn into this person for some reason. But I'd always do it when I've had a hood on, as opposed from like now I'm wearing a denim jacket, didn't have the same effect.
Yeah.
So, and then I'd just kind of get into it, really. I'd just kind of like do it, and then people are laughing. But the last MC, so that would be like the kind of singing kind of garage guy, the kind of so solid type guy. He was like, oh my days, inside, all the ladies say well, like that guy, I'd leave to the end because that would be the funny,
right,
part of it.
Yeah.
But I think for a 10-minute set, I kind of, it's not something I'd really want to delve into because I've got other bits of material that I think that I'd rather do that, as opposed to like, you know, Friday night, 15 people, and I'm like, inside, you get me, inside the plate. And everyone's like, whoa, this is
just save your energy.
It's
not worth that for 15 people.
I just want to have political jokes. What is this guy doing?
Here's a little bit that we like to call, how did you get into hip hop?
Mo, you're a hip hop fan, right?
Yes.
How did you get into it?
Mainly kind of from my sisters. My sisters kind of used to listen to a lot of like R&B.
Yeah. What sort of R&B are we talking?
I'm talking like R. Kelly, Jodeci, that kind of stuff. So we'd always be listening to The Box, because back then we had, all you had is MTV and the box.
Yeah.
And I had Sky, and Sky Digital came, so you had MTV. But mainly from my sisters hearing it around the house and stuff like that. You know, your Busta Rhymes, more that kind of 90s era hip hop.
Yeah.
No one too heavy. Kind of, you know, I've got friends that, yeah, when I was young, I used to rock him. I was like, no, you didn't. What are you lying for? Like, you didn't listen to rock him. No one, yeah. Like, it's when you get a bit older, you start to discover people.
Yeah.
Growing up, it was like your Busta Rhymes, you know, your Missy Elliott's. So, yeah, they were the kind of early, yeah. You know.
Do you know Jodeci? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Jodeci were like, do you ever listen to Jodeci?
A bit, yeah.
So, Jodeci were like, they were the R&B group that, mm-hmm. if you're into hip-hop, you're allowed to listen to.
Yes.
Right? They were... And do you remember there's that tune? I can't remember what the tune was, but there's this bit that goes, girl, I live for you, so I don't give a fuck about me. And I remember just thinking, oh, my God, the guy just fucking... He swore an R&B track. I can't believe it. I lost my mind. And then... Casey and JoJo did the worst shit in the history of music. And then you just thought, I can't listen to Jodeci anymore. My brother went to see like some R&B, you know, like how they did like Atomic Kitten toured with Bewitched and all that. They did an R&B version of that with like Jodeci. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just said Devontae and Mr. Dalvin were just absolutely pissed, hammered, falling off the stage.
Wasn't
and shit
this
like that.
Long ago?
Yeah, it was fairly recent.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this. There was videos and stuff.
Yeah.
And they'd all got fat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird with Jodeci, because Jodeci are like, they were like that kind of, it was a time where R&B were like, these guys weren't that kind of like, they were like nice thugs.
They were
like, yo girl, I wanna punch you in your face.
Yeah.
Because I love, like, it was weird.
I'm gonna fuck you to get an injury.
like because all the guys were wearing all the stuff the rappers would.
Yeah.
But they were like singing.
Yeah.
So like Boyz II Men were like your kind of like the guys you kind of take home to your mum. But then it kind of reached this kind of thuggish kind of R&B element where these guys were wearing do-rags and
and I remember like Jodeci were like on the Murder Was The Case soundtrack and everyone lost their shit. This is amazing, because like it used to be before that, I think like girls liked R&B and dudes liked hip hop, and then all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
there's this thing where you go like, oh, it's actually alright to listen to. I don't have to pretend. I've put this on by accident.
Yeah.
I can actually say I listened to it. Do you know what I mean?
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip hop album you bought?
So anyway, sorry, your sisters are listening to it.
So my sisters will listen to. So the box would be the main thing. So I kind of, it's kind of weird because at that age I was still quite young. I was only about maybe like 8, 10. I was kind of still in primary school at that kind of time. So I was kind of listening to who had the good, you know, the good beats and stuff.
Yeah.
So like Busta Rhymes. And so the first like hip hop album I ever got given was Missy Elliott's Super Duper Fly.
Right.
That was the first one I got given. My sister gave that to me. And that even for me at the time was just like, I was like, this is just like, it starts off with like this kind of, you know, it's kind of R&B like interlude and stuff. And it had these little breaks in it where like Busta Rhymes was speaking the skits and stuff.
Yeah.
But then the beats at the time, like, she's got that song, and it's got like a French rapper in it.
Oh, with MC Solar.
Yeah.
All In My Grill, is it?
That's it,
yeah.
All In My Grill.
Dish.
It's like he's in the room.
But it sounded cool, though. It sounded cool, man.
J'aurais les poches vides, porterai le même jean. Lèverai mon verre à la tienne, tu diras chin chin. T'auras tout ce que sur terre le soleil fait briller. Jouera au Monopoly avec des vrais billets.
And then, as I kind of got older into more secondary school, that's when I started discovering it a little bit more for myself. Who I started to like, essentially. So I still had like, I was like, you know, Missy Elliott and stuff. But I think the first album I bought with my own money and saved up was Ludacris. Back for the first, not Back for the First Time. Word of Mouth.
Right, yeah.
That was the first one I actually had money, because I used to see the his video, which roll out.
Yeah.
He used to always cover, and I was like, bro, this is the best video I've ever seen in my
life.
This guy's amazing.
Where'd you get that platinum chain with them diamonds in it? Where'd you get that matching Benz with them windows tinted? Who them girls you be with when you be riding through? Man, I ain't got nothing to prove. I paid my dues, breaking the rules and shake fools while I'm taking the
cruise. Tell me who. And even these skits, for me, like Ludacris, says he's got some of the best skits.
Didn't you have one about him? Wasn't there?
No, it's Nathan. When Nathan Caton came on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about that one where he's taking a shit or something.
Yeah.
Is it like
the, yeah? It's just got like weird skit. Like one
is
of
that
them was
Nathan's favorite thing.
We had this thing right on the podcast. We talked about how we think skits are generally like shit.
Mm-hmm.
So Nathan goes, "I think you're wrong. And he goes, Ludacris does good skits. And yeah. I said, oh, what's your favourite Ludacris skit? He goes, this is one where he's taking a shit.
A shit skit.
I said, fine, that might be funny, but you can't put that up as your ultimate skit. You can't use that as a reason to like skits.
To justify skits.
Yeah. Anyway, we listened to it. It was all right.
I'll be honest, the skits on the album are good, but the one on, I think it's his first album, Back for the First Time, those skits were literally like comedy.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he'd have these like little stories where I think there's one where there's a phone call. And he's ringing some girls, and then like he's trying to tell them the address. And he's like, "Yes, yeah, so what do you want to do? You want to go fourth on air? You take a left." And she goes, "Okay, all right." Then you want to take a right, right, girl? Okay. Then what you gonna do? You gonna see this big ass house? Oh my gosh, there's some cars on there. Yeah, you gotta escalate. Oh, for real? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What it is? We live on a shitty house, and the music kind of stops. And we live in a shitty house next door. Yeah, yeah, man. The front door is closed. You gotta have to. Climb through the window, and it's just so funny because you're listening to it and you're like, this is comedy,
yeah,
right here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's also Redman has really good skits.
Yeah, yeah,
he's got this like fake Jerry Springer thing happening yeah. in one of these skits.
Yeah,
where it sounds like
we're here at Brick City.
Yeah.
Well, you know? I think Ludacris and Redman are quite similar in terms of. Even like, you know, you're talking about their skits, but even their songs are funny. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you know, it's Ludacris has got punchline. I'm convinced that either of them could have a good go at stand up. Do you know what I mean? Like, just in terms of the sense of humour of what they do. Like, you know, like Ludacris will say, you just do jokes about coming to America references. He did that whole song that was based on Austin Powers, number one spot. It's just the Austin Powers sample.
Yeah,
and
then
he just does loads of Austin Powers references throughout the whole song.
Drop albums non-stop once a year for my fans' sake. I crush mics until my hand breaks. Then shag now and shag later till these women can't stand straight. The Ludamister got them feeling so randy. I'm double XL, so I call him my eye candy.
And like, same with Redman, man. He's just got like a mad sense of humour. There's, I don't know how much Redman you've listened to, but there's... When he did an album, Muddy Waters, I don't know if you've listened to that album, but it's amazing, that album, right? And he has this running thing on all of his albums, Superman Lover. And
So on
Muddy Waters, it was Superman Superman Lover Part 3, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, EPMD had that running thing about this like skeezy girl called Jane, right? They had this ongoing thing. And then he does this thing in Superman Lover 3 because EPMD had fallen apart, like were enemies, and Eric Sermon and Parrish Smith were enemies. And then he's talking about how he's shagging this girl, and then she's got tattoos on her back, and she says, like, I keep track. And he goes, I started reading the names, and I could not believe. I read one name, it said EPMD. I turned around, and no, I couldn't believe it was the J to the A to the N to the E. And then, like, and then her boyfriend turns up, and it's Parrish Smith, like, it's the ultimate diss he ended up with her.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just, like, all that kind of mad stuff, man. It's amazing. Like, they're so...
I think we should do some skits for this podcast.
Okay.
Me and you could do.
All right.
We could perform. We'll write some and then record them.
Okay.
I think
skits are just, they're just forgotten. I can't remember the last time I've heard a skit and I'm like, wow, that's actually quite good.
They're just not imaginative anymore, are they?
No,
there was a time when they just thought, I've got to put skits in.
Yeah.
DJ Khaled sort of does them a bit, doesn't he? And it's sort of like the
DJ
top of his
Khaled, his life is a skit, isn't it?
I mean, it's just like... even the top of his videos.
Did you see the thing with DJ Khaled where he got lost on a jet ski? Have you seen this?
No.
I think I've seen,
oh
I know
God.
Of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Is this like a setup thing? Or
No, he genuinely got...
I think I've heard about this. I might have even seen it.
He takes a jet ski out... And like, I don't know what happens. He manages to get somewhere where you can't see any of the lights from the harbour.
Yes,
and it's
just in the
dark. And his phone's got battery, so he just keeps doing his videos, going, "If God is with me, I'll see you again."
That's incredible. And then uploads it as well.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, cool. So you listen to Ludacris and Redman, and then
Ludacris, Redman. That's mainly for the comedy side.
Yeah.
And then yeah, as I kind of got older, I started to really like. I wouldn't even say like I'd always listen to people, but I think it's different when you start like you get older and you think, right, I'm actually going to sit down and listen to this album properly, yeah. As opposed to I've heard a couple tracks from it and then listening to whole albums and discographies.
Yeah.
Kind of seeing journeys essentially. So yeah, that's where I kind of got more as I kind of left, say my later years in secondary school, listened to that, got into more people like Nas a lot more and stuff. Your Jay-Z's, your Blueprints, your ones and twos.
The thing with Nas though is that people forget now, because I remember like Nas came out of Illmatic, which was obviously incredible, and then he came out with It Was Written, and the lead single, I don't know if you remember, the lead single off that was that Lauryn Hill track, Viral the World.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's like Trackmasters production. So like, and Trackmasters were like pretty poppy, like, you know, it was like, it was still hip hop, but it was like pretty accessible. And you sort of, I remember thinking like, this guy's gone from like having Premiere and like Q-Tip like produces songs, and now he's like
chasing the hit.
Well, it felt like it, but then it felt like he didn't need to, because Illmatic's like considered one of the greatest hip hop albums of all time. And then he has done some shit. I mean, You Owe Me with Genuine is one of the shittest songs.
How's that go?
In any genre. It's something like just Genuine going, you owe me something. And then Nas is going, owe me like you owe my rent. Owe me like it's money you spent. It's like, what the fuck is going on, mate?
Pay me back when you shake it again. Don all the time with all the shine. You small time, I ball with mine. Lynx, Minx, Bentley, Azor with mine. My jams bump out to the borderline.
Oh, yeah. I like that song, man.
No, fuck off, Mo. It's one of the shittiest songs I've ever heard. Dreadful. And then it's only really when Jay-Z went at him that he reawoke the beast or whatever. Because then he came out like Still Matt, he did Ether and like went at Jay-Z and all that. But before that, I was like, Jesus, loads of people just like, oh, mate, Nas is done.
I think it's weird. I think with every good artist, there are some shockers. But I think they're kind of covered up by how good some of their songs are, essentially. Like, for example, I've always liked Tupac.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really essentially call myself a massive Tupac fan.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Biggie fan.
Yeah.
I've listened to a lot more Biggie than Tupac. But then it's kind of like I was listening to like some Tupac. Like, it's hard because it's like sometimes I feel when they've passed away, people be like, no, but everything was great. And I'm nah, there's some shit there, bro. Like, I've listened to some discography and I'm like, this isn't that good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
if Nas, and I hope this doesn't happen anytime soon, but if Nas passes away and people start saying that You Owe Me is a classic, I'm going to be really pissed.
Play it at his funeral.
I think with Puck, he had this real movement going along and he really believed what he was, you know, rapping about. And I think that's also like the thing that resonates with a lot of people. You know, I kind of see that a little bit in Kendrick a little bit.
Yeah.
He's really trying to make a movement with it rather than just making a song for the clubs, essentially.
Yeah. Like You Owe Me.
Possibly.
Yeah,
but as I said, I like You
Owe Me. Yeah, okay.
Fine. I think it's all right.
All right, fine. You know, well, we're going to have to agree.
Yeah. But I think that's what it is. That's where my stance is. I've never said that Puck is not good. I just think for me listening to him, he hasn't, for me, like listening to Biggie, for me was like, wow.
Like
that's who I compare some of the, no, I wouldn't say some rappers now because I don't think that's fair, different eras, different times, but that kind of genre back then, you know, like for me, like Big L, he's like always been one of my favorites. You know, like when I listen to Big L and it comes to punchlines and I'm like, bro, I'm like, this guy was, you know
what, Big L's punchlines are insane. Like, ask crazy, Beavis, man. I get nothing but head.
Do me a favor, please get off the next man dick, and if you think I can't fuck with whoever, put your money up. Put your jewels up, no fucking, put your honey up. Put your raggedy house up, nigga, or shut your mouth up before I buck lead and make a lot of bloodshed. Turn your tucks red, I'm far from broke, got enough bread. And mad hoes, ask Beavis, I get nothing but head. My game is...
Yeah, yeah.
And like, this bitch had me harder than a Spanish test.
Yeah.
When it comes to Nookie, I'm not a rookie. I've got girls that make that Tony Braxton chick look like Whoopi.
Like, he was so ahead of his time, and like, yeah. I think that's what obviously music is subjective, and I think it's easy because it's, you know, when you think of Puck and Biggie, they were at, you know, kind of at their height at that time, and because it was that East Coast and West Coast thing.
Yeah.
That's what also brings, you know, I think especially
it exacerbated
today,
it all. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some times I remember when I went to watch the film with Biggie.
Yeah.
And one of my friends was just like, "Bro, Biggie's crap. Don't like him." My other mate was like, "Oh, how can you say that? How can you say that?
Yeah.
You're saying that because you just watched the film. How dare you?" And I was just like, "No, but you got to remember that it's different type of rapper." But if you look at it at that time, at the height of it, you're going to have the same thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I don't know. The whole Puck, you know, isn't this. It's just like, well, that's, you know, it's just subjective.
I think you're right. And I've got mates that are really into Tupac, and I respect their opinion.
I think that's it. Yeah.
I respect their opinion. But for me, like, there are more holy shit moments when I'm listening to Biggie in terms of, like, you know, he'll say stuff like, "I'm the black rhinoceros of rap. Biggie took a loss. How preposterous is that?" You know, like all that kind it's like he sort of like had that kind of thug thing, but also was technically very gifted. Do you know what I mean? It's really exciting to listen to. What I didn't like was that Born Again. Do you know that fucking album they put together
after he died? Yeah.
So Life After Death came out just after he died, which is fine. Mm. And then, like, P. Diddy, like, went and found recordings of him on the toilet and shit like that.
I've never liked that album. I remember I had it and I just deleted it.
Oh my God.
There'll
be a track where they go Biggie featuring Eminem and da da da. You'd have a verse from Eminem, you'd have a verse from Lil Kim, and then Biggie, there's a recording of him burping.
That's the skit.
Yeah, it's just insane, man. It was just like, because Tupac was much more prolific than Biggie, there's probably still stuff we haven't heard from that dude, right?
Oh yeah, man.
But it was like Biggie, like Diddy was like, "Holy shit, let me try and for a while." Do you remember Shine?
Oh yeah.
I was convinced that Diddy's like gonna get Shine to just pretend to be Biggie on some like posthumous site.
He turned Jewish, didn't he?
Shine, did
he? Yeah, did you hear about this? He went to prison and turned Jewish. Like he had the little curls and the hat and stuff. Like,
wow. Shine.
Yeah, man.
Making this up?
Doom, doom, doom. Yeah. He came out like turned Jewish, man. I don't know if he's still Jewish now, but like a picture of him with him like some other like.
What did
like,
he go for, to prison for?
He's released.
I think it was for doing a lot of the tracks on Born Again.
That was your skit, mate.
But yeah, like I remember someone tweeting and it was like, "Who comes out of prison and turns Jewish?" Like,
yeah.
Like, and I remember he made this kind of, I can't remember who's getting, I don't know if it was Drake or Rick Ross, but he's kind of like, you know, taking shots at somebody.
Yeah.
Like around that time. This could have been like maybe 2009, I'm not too sure.
Did he continue rapping, doing Jewish rap?
I never followed him since.
I don't know why I've said that. Just because you're Jewish and it doesn't make it Jewish rap. Do you know what I mean?
Like, pick up all my Steinbergs up in here.
I didn't know that about Shine. The thing about Shine, the first time you hear him, I don't think you can even tell, you can barely tell the difference. The flows are completely different.
Oh,
their voice
is
just... Mm. And then after a while, you get it will start to sound completely different.
Yeah.
But when you first hear Shine, you're just like, oh my God. And that was the thing. It wasn't even like they shied away from it. That was his thing.
No, that was his thing, innit?
They're all like, he sounds like Biggie.
But I think with Shine, his biggest song is the one with Barrington Levy.
Yeah. Now tell me who on the fuck with us. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, I bang. And let your fucking brain tank. Snitches, fuck all the people, bitches with riches.
Who carry 22s up in their hosiery. A black teller. But there was always a few like fake Biggies around. Remember that guy, Gorilla Black?
Yeah.
And he was literally like, he was fat and everything. Yeah. And they had the same. Because I think being a big MC, like a big guy, that's kind of like who you'd have to, I guess, one that you might kind of look up to if you're a big guy and you kind of rap. Everyone's going to compare you to big. So there's always a few guys with that kind of, you know. Remember the guy, he's from the South called Mike Brown? No, not Mike Brown.
It wasn't Mike Brown.
Back
Mike Brown.
Then, girls love you.
I thought his name was Mike something.
It was definitely Mike something.
But he wasn't big, was he? Was he fat?
He was a big guy,
Mike Brown.
Let
me look this Google Fat Mike.
Dude, I mean, that sounds like your Pornhub search.
And he had the beat he was on at the time was kind of that, is called a chopped and screwed.
Chopped and screwed.
That kind of
get
sound.
Get on the scissor.
Yeah. That only lasted for a small time.
Down some Benelins and then listen to Chopped and Screwed. Yeah. Chopped and Screwed. That whole thing we get, like, I don't know if you...
Sounds like a really bad sketch act.
It's like this thing where they'd remix tunes and it goes to Chopped and Screwed remix. And you listen to a tune that you really love and it's like...
Yeah. But some of the beats were kind of quite cool, but it never really took off of how it really
Oh my God,
was
you're right.
To.
Mike Jones does look quite
good. That's it. Mike Jones.
There you go. That's a photo of Mike Jones, just for the benefits of the podcast.
Yeah, Mike Jones.
Back then, they didn't want me. Now, though, they all know.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, man. I think it must be hard being a big guy, because you're always going to be compared to Biggie all the time.
Yeah.
I remember like Rick Ross used to get similarities because he's
Rick
a big
Ross.
Guy. Yeah.
Are you a Rick Ross fan?
I am a Rick Ross fan.
Yeah.
I am a Rick Ross fan because I think he came out and when he first came out, I wasn't really massively a Rick Ross fan.
No.
But he just had this thing with his last album. I think it was not Ashes to Ashes. Teflon Don.
Yeah.
That album was just like, the beats were good, the hooks were good, the lyrics were good, and that for me just turned me into a fan.
Yeah.
It was just like, you need a hype tune, you need someone to kind of be a bit aggressive on a song, and he just had his own thing. He's that, you know, he had his own sound effects. Oh, like that just became a thing, and his beats that he was coming out with at the time, that kind of Atlanta, you know, that sound, and for me it was just like, wow, this guy's just dope, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember watching him. I went to see him live, and it was just like, He wasn't what I thought he would be.
Well, how do you mean? What were you expecting?
I just thought I'd just go there and it would just be like everyone just kind of like going nuts, and like, I think this was when the height of when BMF came out.
Yeah.
Blow Money Fast. That was his big track at the time.
I think I'm Big Meech. Larry Hoover. Whipping work. Hallelujah. One Nation. Under God. Real niggas getting money from the fucking start.
I went to the concert and I was like, I got my ticket. You know, I got one ticket for myself.
Yeah.
You know, so
you're on your own at this gig?
Yeah, like I knew.
Do you do that a lot?
I've done it twice.
Who was it?
No, three times. I've been to three gigs by myself.
What's it like going to a gig on your own?
It's weird. I've always, that gig, I knew a lot of people going.
Okay.
So luckily, I went with a friend.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I went to recently, a mate of mine, his girlfriend works in music. So I went to see that guy, you know, a designer.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, oh, I got a ticket. I thought, I'll go by myself.
Yeah.
And ended up going by myself. I caught the last track, which was the track he's just brought out.
Panda,
one. Yeah. Yeah.
Panda.
And it was just like...
Fire, right?
It was weird because I felt so like I was just this one guy. I went by myself. And then he kind of was like, he was all in the crowd and stuff. And, you know, he had the, you know... And I felt so old. Like,
yeah.
And I've never had that a gig before. But everyone was just young. All these kids with their tops off, and I'm there with my coat on because it was quite cold.
Yeah.
And then I'm just in the middle of
public transport
this.
And that.
Yeah, I'm just in the middle of it, and everyone's just ha, 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 and I'm just like, whoa, well, you guys are really enjoying it, man. And I kind of got, you know, I got my little, you know, I got my phone out myself. And after I left, I was like, all right, come on, time to go home. I'm
yeah.
And the other gig I went to by myself was Watch the Throne.
Oh, really?
But I went twice to Watch the Throne. First, I went with friends, which was the best experience out of live gig I've ever had in my
life.
How
come?
Because so many factors. Like, literally, we got there and we had standing tickets. And, you know, I met up with my friends. We all got our tickets separately, but met up with some friends. And one of their friends actually worked at O2. So, you had to exchange a ticket, you get this wristband for everyone standing. My mates was all like, oh, you got to get this wristband. And at the time, the queue for standing was crazy. So I was just like, I'm not queuing up in this. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, you got them barriers, you can just kind of unchain them. So I unchained them.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so I just ended up going clink and then kind of skipped from the like three, four queues to be in the queue for, you know, everyone getting their wristbands, got the wristbands. And then, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever been at O2, when you're standing, they kind of let them in a little bit earlier.
Mm.
So everyone is kind of like run. Everyone's running to get to the front. And I've seen it. And my friends are right at the front of the concert. And I'm like, I want to get to the front. So I had to do this whole thing. I was like, sorry, excuse me, coming through. Sorry, excuse me. And everyone's
You're
making way.
You're that
everyone's
prick.
No, but what I was doing, because my friends were there. So they're like, yeah, come, man, come.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, sir, excuse me. And then this one Jamaican guy, I was like, sorry, can I get through? He's like, you're a man, you can't push me. I was like, no, I'm not pushing. My friends are over there. We don't care about your friends, man. I was like, but please, like, I'm just getting through. And then one of my friends was like, oh, move out of the way, man. And then everyone just like quiet, and I was just like, sorry guys, coming through. Sorry guys. There was this one other guy, this little short, like Chinese guy. He just weren't moving for anything. And I'm like, guys, come on, man. Everyone's moving out of the way. I literally had to kind of shove him to the side, like, coming through. And then,
and do you think that's the thing that Chinese people tend to do? Is that what the feeling you get?
No.
Okay.
No, I got some Chinese friends.
No, okay.
Cool,
just
clear,
you know. I just want to clear.
He was just solid though. He
just, you had to, you, the way you were saying. I just want to clarify. No, you ain't got an anti-Chinese vibe about it. No, okay, fine.
But I never forget this guy because he was so small, and I was just like, dude, move out the way. Like, if I've defeated the Yardie over there, what makes you think that I'm not going to barge you out the way to get to my friends? When I mean, we were
really Chinese for fuck's sake.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like,
really shit computer game.
Like. Like, he was using his inner chi just to, like...
Yeah.
But, yeah, we literally...
They do that, don't they?
That's what I mean. They just build it up. Yeah, before you know it, they feel like a rock. You know what I mean? Like this guy is... How are you doing this? But how are you using all of your chi? But I got to the front. And when I mean, like, the front... You know, some people say, oh, we was at the front.
It's yeah,
like,
yeah.
No. The barrier is here. And where you are, obviously people can't see this, but this is, like...
Very close.
About a meter. Mm.
Yeah.
That's where Jay-Z and Kanye were for Watch the Throne.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, right to the front, to the point, like, I've still got recordings on my computer of where I have my phone out. Jay-Z is, like, spitting right in front of my camera. Literally, like, saliva was on my camera. Like,
Jay-Z saliva?
Like, literally, I was had the phone out just like, oh my God, he's in. Like, what song was he doing? Oh, I can't remember. Because they were doing some of their own songs as well.
Yeah.
And I think the best moment I've ever had was me and my friends were at Watch the Throne. Jay-Z was just like talking on stage. He's just like, yo, London. And Kanye was just standing there.
Yeah.
So I've looked at Kanye, right?
Probably thinking about Trump.
Most probably. I don't know. But I've looked, this is pre-Kanye. This is like before Kim Kardashian Watched the Throne. So I've looked at Kanye. He's looked right at me and I've gone like this and just give him a little, hey, what's up? Like, saluted him. And he saluted back.
No.
Me
shit,
and my friends lost our shit.
Incredible.
Like, it was the. Because I'm a big Kanye fan. Always have been. From like college dropout days.
Yeah.
Even till now, there's some stuff I'm a bit like, no, you know. But music wise, he's always been one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But just to be like, oh, cool. And it wasn't like a thing of like, I've got his attention.
No.
Like, do something. Ah, business card. Like, I just literally seen him. I was like, oh, what's up, dude, man?
Yeah.
And he was like, cool, man. When I mean we all turned into groups, oh my God. One of my friends was claiming that he saluted him. I'm like, wait, I saluted him, so he saluted me back. Don't get involved.
Was that guy Chinese? Was it Chinese guy?
No, he wasn't. He was a black guy.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, and I think my second favourite concert was when I seen Kanye and Skepta. That for me just was surreal.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, part of me, I'm still lucky to have seen that happen.
Cause I don't How long ago was that?
That wasn't even that long ago. That was possibly maybe even 2 years ago at Coco's in Camden.
And so that's a good... Were you right at the front?
Kind of in the middle.
But that's still... If you're in the middle at Coco's,
close, Coco's is really small. And even... I remember I'd left work. I left work and I just like... I seen someone put up a ticket of... Because, you know, Kanye, that's when he'd done the Brits. So he'd done the Brits and I was like, oh, cool, someone's going. I thought someone's going to like a private concert. Kanye would be there. Went on Ticketmaster. Lo and behold, I see there's tickets there. So I was like... I grabbed one of these and I grabbed a ticket. Ticket was expensive. It was like £50 still. Yeah. But as I said, I'm a big Skepta fan as well. So I thought I went by myself.
Yeah.
Ended up finding friends there that I went with. And that concert was amazing because it was nice to see, like, it wasn't like Skepta performing for Kanye fans.
Yeah.
It was like all supporting acts. Which I'm not really a massive fan of some of that sometimes because it's just like sometimes you because even I've gone to massive concerts like me and my girlfriend went to watch Beyonce and they had someone I don't know who it was but I was just like I don't care about them I'm coming to see the main act essentially but to see Skepta and I've got this amazing picture I'll show it to you where Kanye West is looking at Skepta. That Skepta's got the mic.
Yeah.
And it's his picture where there's a beam of light. I don't know if it's an angel or some spirit. And Kanye is looking at Skepta like, wow, this guy's like in shock.
Yeah.
I remember I put the picture out and so a few people started taking the picture and I was like, I should have watermarked it.
Yeah.
But
it's crazy, man.
I think as a concert, just like it was crazy, man. I've heard like playing like one of my favourite Kanye songs is Blood on the Leaves.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't perform a lot either. And he performed that and just seeing everyone going mad, like mosh pits. Like at a Kanye concert. Really? Yeah, like mosh pits. I've got videos I'll show you guys.
What was he like with the in-between song chat?
He is very much like, he had some visuals, right, behind him. So he'd play a song, and it was quite cool to watch an artist, like, because it wasn't glossy. Like they do a song, and it was just like, no, that ain't the visual, cut that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, this isn't, and I'm talking, this wasn't like a concert at like 8 p.m. This was late. This was like 12 o'clock, and yeah, like, 1 o'clock. And he was like, no, cut that. No, that individual.
It's like a work in play progress.
That. And you're literally watching it and you're just like, bro, this is happening. This is like, you know, I like stuff that is a bit disorganized.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, play that. Okay, yeah, that's it right there. Okay, London, you ready to get into it? It's like, dun-dun. And you're like, whoa, this is happening.
Yeah,
like,
nice stuff.
And then, then Skepta's coming in with songs. Like, Jeremy was there. You had Meridian Dan doing German Whip. But I always see that gig as like, I was like, I'm quite lucky that I was able to see that, because I don't think that will ever happen again. I know Drake's coming over and working with people, but it's not the same for me. I think for the new generation, yes. But to see like Kanye West and then like Skepta, who I listened to like MySpace days.
What do you think with Skepta? Mm. Do you reckon he doesn't ever look overawed by an occasion? Because
you
sort of think like, just from you describing it, obviously I wasn't there, but just Skepta, he's so comfortable in his own skin. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he just, you can imagine just going, yeah, of course Kanye's going to ask me to do this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm fucking Skepta, mate.
Do you know
what I mean?
I know what you mean.
He wouldn't come on and go, I can't imagine him doing a long monologue about what his honour is to be with Kanye. I just thought, yeah, I mean, I'm fucking fine. Skepta, mate. Yeah. You want to have a good show, you need to invite me to do that. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's a good thing, though.
It's a great thing. It's wicked.
I love it, man. I think sometimes as UK artists, we're a bit like, oh my God, I'm just sitting here with Pharrell.
And
it's such a pleasure to be here. And I'm just like, nah, man. Like, you know, it's a sound that, you know, you've been a part of. And it should be more, they should be happy to be in your company a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they obviously want to. You know, I feel that Americans are really trying to understand our sound of grime and how we do it and get it. And they're getting it, but I don't think they can ever do it.
Yeah.
There's something, I think, which is quite original that we're able to do with grime and, you know, the MCs. And when I think of some of the young guys coming up, they've got it straight away. And I could imagine there's, you know, people from the States, rappers, have thought, oh, I want to try and get on this 140 BPM and spit like this. But it's like, nah, you don't get it, though. It's not. I don't know, you know? But I think with Skepta, like, it's one thing, like, when I do watch him in interviews, I'm just like, he's just in his own zone. He knows where he's going, he knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't ever seem overwhelmed by none of it. I don't know if you've seen when he performed at Ali Pali and some of the visuals, it's on Apple Music and stuff, but the visuals are great. And just watching him, and you're just like, you don't seem like, he doesn't seem like an artist. Like, guys, thank you for coming, man. Yeah. We've done it. You know, we've done it.
He did it. Ali Pali.
Yeah, you know.
We sold out. He said it could never happen.
He doesn't ever seem like that. He's just like, well, yeah, this is happening, isn't it? It's like it's meant to be. Like, he knows his own destiny.
Did you hear the thing about the Evening Standard review of that?
Restart.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was so funny, man.
There's a theory that, so basically, some guy from the Evening Standard went and reviewed it.
Yeah.
And then, like, said, I think they had some technical difficulties because in a lot of the songs I would like rewind, they had to restart the songs.
Yeah, he didn't get it.
Yeah,
incredible.
But then, you know, there's this like theory that was deliberate. They did that to get some attention. Like, but why would you do that deliberately? Make someone look fucking so incompetent.
Yeah,
that
just looks so stupid. It looks. I think because of the sound and grime is becoming this thing of like, oh, it's cool, man. I listen to grime.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to review it, everybody wants to see a review where it's just like, oh, wow, that's a great review. But then when you do that, you're going to get some people reading it like, oh, well, that's true. They've reviewed it.
Yeah.
He's a you know, professional person in music that has said this. But then I think now with how it's working, and, you know, you can just go on YouTube and you can type in what is a reload and it will come out.
Yeah.
And then I think now it's becoming a thing where it's just like, you guys are actually starting to look really stupid now.
Yeah, because you can't, but the thing is, you can't imagine that he wouldn't have chatted to someone about that gig. Do you know what I mean? Like, and gone, oh, they had... Like, because the idea of a reload... First of all, that's not new. That's do you know what I mean? How long has that been around for?
Like reggae subculture.
So how the fuck did you not know that?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, I reckon my mum would know that. They're stuck a rewind on that one. Do you know what I mean? I can't believe this guy's got no awareness of it.
I don't know. Part of me, I kind of... I kind of see... I find it more funny, if anything.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's just great PR for Skepta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? More people are going to be more annoyed by it.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, because everyone he put out was like, what? Do you not know what this is?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And everyone found it more like, are you that stupid? that stupid that you thought they had to restart the song, essentially?
It always seemed to be the bigger ones as well. The more popular songs that seem to go wrong with
they're
very unlucky.
And everyone started shouting. They was happy that it was being restarted.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Cool, we're almost out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, man.
Have you got anything that you're up to at the moment that you'd like to plug to our... How many listeners we got now, Rupert?
Just like 84,000, I think.
Is that true?
No,
you just made that number up, haven't you? Why would you just make that number up?
You look so happy.
I look delighted.
Go with it.
Okay, so 84,000 listeners.
Yes.
What do you want to say to them?
Yeah, man, just catch some of my videos and some of my performances up and down
the
country.
We can post the links on the on the page.
No, we won't. We will do. We'll put the links
up. Yeah, if you want it,
videos.
It's up to you, man.
And you're doing AAA.
Yeah,
with some
in
fucking twats.
Yeah, so
just two other chumps.
Just going to smash it, man.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to get reloads. That's what I'm trying to get.
Yeah, tell that joke again on the routine. That would be good.
How amazing.
Yeah,
tell that joke again. All right, cool. Basically, I'm walking into this shop, right? Okay, yeah. No, that would be amazing, man.
Shop routine. Oh, cool. Mo, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure
Thank
having you on, man. Sorry, the room is such a sweatbox.
Don't worry, man. It's not my house.
Cool. Bye, Rupert.
Goodbye.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.